This podcast is brought to you by Refix, a natural and organic isotonic drink containing 78 sea minerals. It's available on Amazon UK now, and it's heading to the shelves of all major health food retailers and pharmacies soon. Oh, that is nice.
It is nice. It's really good, though, because when I was talking to the guys at Refix, it kind of marries very well with our brand, because not only is it replacing like your normal kind of sugary isotonic drinks with something that's all natural after training, but also for like things like hangovers.
Important for our clients.
Yeah, super important for our clients.
Because a lot of them are hungover.
They love drinking and training.
The flavors are good. That one we've just had now, what is it?
That one's orange and they've got lemon. And then they're bringing out extreme hydration, which is mixed with coconut water as well as seawater, because they get the minerals that would normally be added in to a...
Floating around in the sea.
Exactly. They just pull it out of the sea. 78 of them.
It's filtered very, very well.
And it's the Spanish sea as well. So...
The cleanest.
Special. Special sea. And also, they do things to help the planet. They do regular beach cleans. They help tidy up our oceans. It's just a great drink and great people. So we're happy to be partnering with them for this podcast.
Our lovely listeners can buy Refix with a little discount, can't they, George?
They can. It is BTL15. And you type that into the discount code on the Refix website and you get 15% off.
That is BTL15.
Refix. Seawater. Sea hydration. Extra slurps. Is that how you drink all the time?
Super slurpy. Hey guys, before we get into this episode of Before Lights podcast, here at Before the Lights, we are super supportive of all our friends who are actors and their strike with the Screen Actors Guild. Therefore, we've held on to some of these episodes until the strikes are finished. So some of the stuff they say might be dated or it might have already come out, but we're super grateful for the time they've given us and it's still super interesting chats. So yeah, have a listen and enjoy.
Hey, I'm Dave Hasty.
I'm George Ashwell.
I'm Josh Betteridge.
And I'm Georgia Canavan. And we are Before the Lights.
We work with actors and teams behind the scenes in film, TV and sport to keep their mental and physical health ticking over on and off screen.
On this podcast, we talk to some of them about how they get the most out of their mind and body and everything in between.
We're going to introduce today's guest. A little bit off-piste from the normal, we're going to step into the world of sports and it's Mr. Chase Utley.
Welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Regular listeners will be confused by this because we typically talk to actors, directors, writers about training them for getting ready for a film job or working in that creative world. But you've come to us after finishing. You finished your baseball career and moved to London, basically, and have ended up hanging out with us.
Well, yeah, we couldn't turn down the opportunity to talk to someone who actually trained for a living on something that's actually useful. It's actually physical rather than like, oh, yeah, like you have to pretend to fight someone, so you need to look good to do it. Because you've come to us as a retired baseball player going, all right, how do I stay in shape, enjoy it, not make it feel like my whole like career?
We've talked a little bit over the past few months about baseball. I know you're the biggest baseball fan, but
I'm
now
really
you're getting more appreciated a little bit more.
I'm really enjoying learning about it because I'll be honest, when you came in, I didn't know anything about baseball.
Right.
So that's, I get a lot out of our sessions.
Once in a while, I get something out.
Yeah, then that's fine with me. That's, you know.
Break a little sweat.
That's absolutely fine. I've done a little bit of research into baseball.
Fantastic.
And it turns out you were pretty good at it.
Some days were better than others, yeah.
I'll reel off. Here's, I've got like a little list of just things about you here.
Is this full career stats of 40 minutes?
This is it, 40 minutes.
Yeah,
it should only take about 1 minute.
Straight telling you things about yourself.
I'll do it really quick. Good. You played 16 seasons.
That's right.
That's long. That's a long time.
Very long time. All right. In professional
Is that a longer time than most?
I would say that's longer than most. Yeah, especially nowadays. The average career is probably five or six years. You can play in your late 30s, you've been pretty lucky. That's the way I look at
it. Yeah, absolutely. That's quite similar to kind of football, isn't it?
It's most
sports. Yeah, most sports. Yeah. You know, there's really you're just, the talent level just isn't there. It slowly declines. Once you hit 30, I mean, you can look at all the metrics and data. That's just, it's a slow, slow dip down to,
not for you,
to the bottom. Well, I kind of hung on there a couple extra years than I.
When did you peak? You hit 30 and got better.
You peak. Most guys peak between 26 and 30. That's kind of the peak years.
Is that where their like mental meets their physical? The brain stays in the body.
You're absolutely right. Right. It's a lot. I mean, baseball's a lot. There's a lot of repetition. Right. The more you can do it, the better you become at it.
In those 16 years.
16.
Yes.
Fact man's back.
Wow.
You won a World Series in 2008.
Yeah, did you watch it? Do you remember that?
Of course I did.
Yeah, we were there.
We were 18.
That was when we met. 2008 was when we met.
Really?
Yeah. We all had our Phillies hats on. And we were like, you love the Phillies too. And we're like, amazing. Yeah.
And that's why my first trip to America in my life in 2015 was to Philadelphia.
To visit
when Josh chairs. Accidentally went.
Where was to the Liberty, you wanted to see the Liberty Bell?
No, I wanted to see the Phillies play.
Okay.
No, this is bullshit. I went for a work thing.
Josh almost got groomed at the baseball, I think. You can tell the story if you'd like.
Just, I'd love to hear it.
A family took me in to watch the game.
Fast forward to the bit where you got to their apartment.
Got to their apartment after a lot of drinks later. It was me, the son, and the son's wife. Oh, I think they're
trying to get him
they
drunk.
They didn't want you there.
They're trying to get him drunk.
They wanted me like to drink with them and like.
They wanted him too much to be there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I was like, can you go into a little bit more detail than what you're saying?
I can, and this is the complete factual story.
Beep.
I thought I left.
They were like, "This guy's nice. We'll just invite him around to watch baseball." Yeah. And he's like, "Fucking perverts."
Yeah. Where'd you run into this couple?
So I was getting the train down to watch the games. Had a free afternoon. And then I was on the train and I asked this couple who were wearing Phillies gear. I was like, oh, are you going to the game? They went, yeah, we got a spare ticket. Come with us. I was like, great.
Totally random.
Saves me like however many bucks.
Yeah, I was back to you winning a World Series.
16 seasons.
Oh, I know. Right.
Back to you winning a World Series. Where was the actual game? Was it what game did you win in?
We won in 5 games.
Is that what normally happens?
Well, it's a best of 7 series.
American sports are crazy.
So it can happen in 4,
so first team to win
4
games, essentially.
That's just purely a money thing, right? The more you play, the more money gets made for everybody.
Yeah, but it's...
one game's enough.
But it's not, though. Not in the baseball world. The best team, I mean, they run away with it, but they still lose in the course of 162 games is what a season is.
Yeah.
The best team still lose. The worst team could beat the best team at a game at a time. But over a 7-game series, the best team usually comes out on top.
What's that like mentally? You know, it's like it's a final, but it's a series of finals. Because like athletes always say it's like one game at a time and all that kind of stuff. But is it literally like you're like, we're playing this game. What happens in this game is all that matters. And then you kind of go, that's done, next one.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I know it's boring and very cliche to say, but like I said, going back on the length of a season, there's so many ups and downs over the course of the year. And as an offensive player like myself, a good offensive player bats 300. That means he's successful 30% of the time. That means he's
30%.
Fails 70% of the time.
That
so think about that, dealing with that mental just breakdown over the course of the year. You ride this roller coaster.
That was the thing when I first watched baseball, and I was like, oh, that guy's out. He just walked off. And it's like, that's kind of just so
that's him
normal.
His innings. Yeah, exactly.
In cricket, it's this big event, and it's like, whoa, like he's out, whatever. Like if you're out first ball, it's like super embarrassing, all this kind of stuff. Where in baseball, it's like, boom, back to the line, you go again sort of thing.
Yeah, it is. And over the course of the year, if you don't get hurt and you play for the most part every day, go to bat 700 different times in a season. So
I mean, the Premier League is, what, 38 games a season? Basketball, which I always thought was mental, was 82 games a season. Baseball is 160. Is that including the playoff run or not including the playoff run?
No, that's not including the playoff run. I mean, you look at spring training, meaning our training before the season.
How do you have time for spring training? You're too busy playing
games. Start 6 weeks before the season, and you play probably 25 games. You don't play in every game. You're not playing every inning of every game, but you are playing at least 50% of the time. It's mad. It's great. Loved it. I grew up playing it.
It's so funny that we actually have American listeners, and this is just going to be three English dudes going,
Wait, what is
baseball? I don't understand.
With that in mind, Fact Man is back.
Fat Man's back.
That's me.
Oh,
what do you got, Fact Man?
What you got?
You are a 6-time All-Star player. What does that mean?
That's amazing.
What does that mean? Good question. I asked myself that. Every summer there's an All-Star team selected.
Surely you know what that means.
Hey, it's just funny things to say, isn't it?
So I'm going to break it down for you.
Thank you.
There's an All-Star team selected, some by the fans, which is a voting process. They check your name if they like you. And some by your colleagues, your players.
It's pretty cool, then. Coaches.
Yeah, it's great. It essentially tells
you. Do you get
you
a shirt that says you're in the team?
You get a free shirt. You get a jersey.
Free shirt.
Yes.
Wow. A whole kit. Do you get a whole kit?
You get a hat with like a special emblem on it.
Do you play as an all-star team?
You do. So the National League versus the American League. So there's 15 teams in each
league. Which one's better?
Depends on who you ask. I've played in the National League my whole career. But yeah, it's a 4-day. Essentially, this is always in July. Sunday, everyone plays. Wednesday's the all-star game. So that 4-day window, if you don't make the all-star team, you're not doing anything. You're doing whatever you want.
Great.
Yeah.
Did you find, I just touched on it there, like going, I'm going to sit back and sort of switch off a bit, because I guess in the season you don't get a massive amount of time to do
that. Yeah, you have no time to kind of
That must be
disengage.
Really important in terms of longevity.
I tried, and I wasn't always successful at it, but I tried to leave everything at the ballpark, right? You go, you play a game, good, bad, and when you leave, you can kind of just go live like a normal life for the next 12 hours, essentially, and then do it all over again.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Like, I remember thinking it before with footballers in particular, because some of the guys that make it in the Premier League make it at like 16, 17, and all of a sudden you're kind of thrust into this world where it's like high pressure, a lot of scrutiny on your decision making, and like a normal 16-year-old, 17-year-old isn't thinking about that stuff. Equally, like into your 20s, 26, 27 is probably where most people tend to think, I sort of know what's going on.
I mean, it's a big team, right? So you have a support system. You would hope you have a support system around you with guys to help you navigate certain situations. When I was young, there were some veteran guys that kind of pointed me in the right direction and pulled me aside when stuff went good or bad, and like gave me their perspective on how to interact and respond in those situations. And as I aged, I felt like I wanted to do that for younger guys. So I think that's helpful to have that support system.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's tough. You're young, you're 18. I can't even imagine, right? There's some players that sign a professional contract out of high school. They play 3 years in the minor leagues, no college experience, and they go to the major leagues.
Yeah.
And then I see guys that go to college for 3 years, play a couple years in the minor leagues, and get to the major leagues. And that college experience, from my point of view, is a huge benefit.
Those guys get treated very well at college. They get like certain sort of exemptions from class and all that kind of stuff, but they have to maintain a good grade point average. They have to make sure they're actually going to class. And I feel like that is super important for young athletes. Even the super talented ones, they need to.
I completely agree.
You can break a leg or whatever.
You got to figure out how to kind of navigate on your own.
All the guys that are on that college team are there because they're some of the best players in the country, I imagine. How many people are expected to make it from that position to?
Yeah, the percentages are not high. I mean, make it to the. I don't know other sports, but I imagine they're probably fairly similar. A needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
You have to be good. Be at the right time at the right place, and you have to have some luck on your side from an injury.
Because that is very similar to the people we deal with mostly day to day, with the actors,
and
musicians, and those kind of people. That's the same kind of thing. And one thing that we're talking to Connor Swindells, who comes into the gym, I don't think you've ever crossed paths with him. So he was pursuing a boxing career, and then he's like, I need something else. And we were joking with him that he then chose acting, which is obviously a safe thing to fall back on. But did you ever have like a backup option in terms of like, or were you like, I'm going to be a baseball player?
Yeah, that was kind of my path.
Yeah.
I'm glad it worked out because I don't know where I would have gone without it.
It's probably part of like you getting there in the first place, because it was that you just wanted to.
100%. Yeah. And I was focused. I was probably a little bit more like in the zone than some of my other teammates and colleagues over the years. I just was really focused on like one goal at a time. I got lucky. I've had a good support staff with my family and my coaches over the years. So that was extremely helpful.
Fat man's back again.
You call yourself fat man?
Fat man, no, fact.
Fact.
Okay. Fact. Fact.
Because Dave's in good shape, just so everyone's listening.
Don't call me fat man.
Speaking
of like the deciphering some of the accents, I was playing golf. Maybe I told you the story while you were attempting to work me out, Dave. I was playing golf with this guy, and he said, have you ever, I was telling him we were traveling a little bit, and he said, have you ever been to Ireland? I've never even heard of the country island. It's like, you never heard of it? It's right, it's an hour flight from here. And I'm thinking in my head, I've seen a picture of the map. Where is Ireland? And he said it again.
How are you spelling it in your head?
Island. I-S-L-A. Island.
Next to Iceland.
And then it took me 5 minutes to go, he's saying Ireland.
Ireland.
Oh, gotcha. Ireland.
You're doing well, like getting around the country.
Yeah, you've visited more of this country than I in the last 8 months.
You make a little trip to Italy.
Yeah,
that's
the whole point of this adventure. But yes.
I mean, we haven't spoken about why you're here.
A number of different reasons. One,
train at BTL.
Yes. As I was on scrolling through Instagram, I saw you guys training a bunch of famous people, and I figured I want to do that.
I'm famous. I'll go there.
But I'm not famous over there. He's incognito over here.
Yeah, that's it. It's like Thierry Henry playing for
you. Must love that. That's something that I would be like, are you making the most of, you could just walk around and no one knows who you are?
Yes. It's not bad.
Do you ever go
in Philadelphia? Yes. You can't hide in Philadelphia for myself or several of my teammates, but pretty much anywhere else you can maneuver.
But people would be like, It's you're cool. aware of people spotting you and like doing
yeah,
all
you're aware of it and you
stuff.
Get it, so you make sure you don't want to pick your nose or like do something.
So you're picking
awkward.
Your nose all over all
everywhere, everywhere else, yes, for sure.
This guy's
sure.
scratching his balls every time he comes in the gym. Just waiting for the
getting it all out of the way. Another reason why you did fly to London, though, is right. they're bringing Major League Baseball to the UK.
Yes, to answer your question, I mean, you guys obviously know this, but my wife and I and my two boys moved here in August. One for a family adventure. We wanted to live in Europe and travel around Europe. Experience a different way of life and show our kids that there's something else other than Southern California.
You got a Venice in California?
That's Venice in California, which is like a whole different city. But that's another conversation. But also, I took a role as Major League Baseball ambassador to Europe, which is a long-winded way of saying I'm here to represent Major League Baseball. And try to do whatever I feel like is necessary and work with the team here on the ground to expand and promote the game of baseball. Because it's challenging to watch baseball here in the UK, one from a live at least. Time perspective, it's not on TV that much.
I really loved it when I went with Josh to watch the Yankees in New York. And like we've covered, I didn't really know much about baseball, but I had a great time. As a spectacle, it's fun. Spend an afternoon.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased, but yeah, it's a fantastic time. It's a little bit different environment than going to a football game here. It's not as rowdy is not the right word, but there's constant chanting going on at the football games, and obviously there's a lot of history involved, so there's a lot of passion. Mm. Baseball has some of that, but it doesn't. Not as intense.
It's not as intense, and it's more family driven. There's more space. There's more breaks. So we saw so many families there. It was so nice to see that, and you can see that catching on because there's no family driven sport.
No,
it's a
good Sunday day game. Yeah. Take the family, have some lunch. You're out in the sun, have a beer. You have your kids watching a sport. I've at least got three guys that know you. Three guys
yeah,
at least
know
more about baseball than they
four
did
now.
Before. Jimmy,
producer
right?
Jimmy so, knows.
We have our work to
there's at least three other guys that listen to this.
There's at least three.
As far as I know. Saw your statistics. There's like at least 12 to 15.
You can tell your bosses at Mace Baseball like how you spread the word today.
You're working.
Spread
today.
The word.
They paying you for this, right? Yeah. Good. Nice.
Ooh, good one. Send them an invoice. That'd be great.
We'll do that for sure.
But yeah, enjoying it. Really, really enjoying it. My kids played in a baseball league here, as you guys know, and they loved it. And this is something that's going to happen over the next 4 years. They're going to have games here in London.
Are you here more than just this year?
I'm here at least next year as well. So you guys are stuck with me. Well, you guys are stuck with me for at least another year.
Will you be out on the field doing any tricks and stuff?
I won't. No tricks. No juggling.
He's got his skateboard out.
Hitting it really high. Catching it again.
No, we'll let the professional guys do that. No, I will. I will maybe. Walking around, saying hi to some guys, shaking some hands, kissing some babies.
You're saying in Philadelphia, you can't go anywhere without getting recognized. And part of my research, I always go and check everyone's IMDb. You got one.
This guy's
I have one.
You have one.
This guy's
I didn't make that. Did someone make that for you?
It's like a legitimate website.
I've got one. As soon as you get a credit in anything, you go into their like thing. And
the database.
Into the database.
So
and
you have
search for you.
You have a credit for playing yourself in Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is really cool.
That's cool.
How did that happen?
I got a call from probably my agent. This was 10, 15 years ago. And they said, listen, there's this show called Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It was a fairly new show at the time. And they want you to be on it, playing yourself. You and one of my teammates, Ryan Howard.
And like, you at the time are like, prominent.
I didn't really know.
Team. So they're like,
we were just starting to make a name for ourselves. We had really good teams. We started to have some success. Okay, I don't know the show because I'm so tuned into the baseball season that I tune everything else out. So I go to Ryan. Hey Ryan, you know anything about this? Yeah, I got a call too. I said, you want to do it? Sure, let's do it. Not knowing anything about it. It was an off day and we drove an hour out in the middle of nowhere and. Had suits on, makeup, the whole deal. Met the guys. Very cool. We were a little nervous to start because we're completely out of our element.
You've never been in that environment.
We have no idea. Lights, camera, action. Like, no. I just give me a glove and a ball, and I can hide. I'm happy to hide on the baseball field, but hiding in front of cameras isn't comforting for myself. We met the guys. They were very loose. Here's your lines. Kind of get something like that. You doesn't have to be perfect. And it was fantastic. We were there for probably you know, 3 hours doing a bunch of different scenes. And it was cool. I've actually done it a second time, but I don't think it's aired yet.
And, like, it's so funny. Charlie Day.
It's hilarious. So great.
Season 6 or 7. I've seen the episode. Yeah. It's so funny.
But what season did you go back and shoot in?
This was like several months ago, so recently. So it's this coming season. I think they're on, started season 16.
Still running.
I think it's the longest comedy sitcom.
Maybe you should get them to stop at 16. And you'll be like, I was in Chase Utley, 16 seasons.
Yes. Actually, 16. You know what? I think
everything you do is 16 seasons.
I think my episode may air like the next few days. I don't know.
Right now.
Not right now. Maybe.
If it does, we'll put a clip in.
Hello. Oh, hi. Hi, Mr. Utley.
Hey, would you like an autograph?
Oh, no, that's a classic, Mr. Utley. It's me, Mac.
I don't know, Mac.
I wrote you a letter every week for the last 10 years. Did you not receive my letters?
Wait, you're that Mac?
Yes.
I thought Mac was a little kid.
Yes, there's a child. A child born unto me.
What?
He's little Mac, I'm Big Mac, and you shall have a catch with him. Your hair is throwing me, and it's making me very nervous.
Do you have plans to go into acting?
I have no plans in going into
You don't
acting,
want to be no. America's answer to Vinnie Jones. Do you know who Vinnie Jones is?
No, I don't. Please
tell
me.
He was a footballer.
You big told
in
me
the
this.
90s, 2000s, part of Wimbledon were a team. They since sort of folded and then have come back.
But he's in a lot of American films. You remember the Nicolas Cage film Gone in 60
Seconds?
I know
exactly what you're talking about.
Is he in Lock, Stock? He's great.
Big guy.
Snatch. So he used to break people on the football field. Like, that was his job. He'd just take them out.
I love it.
And then he's just become a Hollywood hard man.
I love it.
With your relationship after Always Sunny, you got to know Rob McElhenney, right?
Yeah, Rob and I are good friends. Play quite a bit of golf together.
Did you manage to watch a few Wrexham games?
Well, it depends on what you consider watching it.
I just want to hear your experience of watching lower league.
I've been to Wrexham with my wife and two boys who are 11 and 8.
You got that normal LA to Wrexham flight?
Yeah, no. Well, yes.
Direct, of course.
They're going to have some non-stops here shortly, I would imagine. Anyways, we were here. Rob said, we're coming to a game. They're bringing their kids, Kaylin. Why don't you come up to Wrexham? Great, let's do it. We've been here for 10 days. Let's do it. We want to see Brett and you. So we're going to drive there.
Did you think Wrexham's a part of London?
We don't know any different. We're going to drive there. London. And you know what? Now that I look back on it, I told a few people, like, this is what we're doing, and they kind of gave me that same look that you just gave me, like, what the fuck are you
doing? Also, it's not even like, if you want to see the country, that's not a scenic drive.
Well, we kind of diverted off, like, Cotswolds area, which was beautiful, right? Anyways, we get there. Great. We get there, have a big dinner. I believe it was Caitlin's birthday, big dinner that night. Next day, we're playing golf. We play golf. Kind of near the end of the golf round, I'm starting not to feel great. I mean, we're not, maybe I had a beer. Not feeling great. We have this dinner afterwards. Middle of dinner, I'm starting to really go downhill. I'm starting to like get the achy feeling, headache. I'm getting hot. And so, listen, I have to excuse myself. So I go back to my room, and it's progressively getting worse. Sweating, more aches. I'm starting to feel like I'm sick. I have the flu or something. Yeah. Slept terribly. Next day, still feel awful, which is game day. Wrexham game day. Games at, say, I don't know, 1 o'clock. We randomly had a COVID test because everyone had plenty of extra COVID tests lying around the time, and I test positive for COVID, which was amazing. So I drove to Wrexham to get COVID, to then stay in the hotel room, watch the game on TV. My family went to the game. They loved it. They had a blast. They won. So apparently it was a good time. Pretty remarkable story what they've done.
Is it working? Do people care about it in America?
I don't know. I've heard plenty of different stats. It depends on what you believe, what you read. But I think Wrexham is one of the most popular football teams in the U.S.
Crazy. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's a little bit of a pivot, but I'm really interested in talking about how your training stacks up compared to, as an athlete, compared to how you train now. I think you kind of talked a little bit about sort of maintaining routine and exercise and things from like a mental health point of view. And it's something we talk about with a lot of the actors because their life goes from really, really busy to periods of being quiet and they want to maintain some sort of routine for their own sanity. Is that something that you found coming into it as like you've retired from your sport where it was all super structured, you knew what you were doing every day. Is exercise now a different thing for you?
Yeah, completely different thing. Now, I mean, going back to exactly what you said, you hit the nail on the head. I think mentally, I need to work out, and also physically, right? So I played for however long I played, and working out was like a chore. It wasn't really an option. I wanted to be successful. I wanted to continue to get better. So therefore, I felt like I needed to get bigger and stronger and faster and have that same mentality. So
it was just like a part of the process.
It was just part of the process. And it's much more intense in the off season than it is in season, because it's hard to get really hard workouts in during the season because you're playing essentially every day. I lost a lot of weight playing on the East Coast, very humid and hot during the summertime. So I would lose a lot of weight during the course of the season. So I needed to put that weight back on and hopefully plus a little bit. So yeah, I took my off seasons extremely serious.
Most sports aren't really healthy when you look at it from that point of view. Cause like you're like, I need to put on weight, but you need that weight that you do put on to specifically go towards being better at twisting really fast, essentially. Yeah. And like, that's not necessarily going to help you as a human being moving around.
No, it doesn't. And you get aches and pains and, but I mean, I'm probably 10 to 15 pounds lighter now than I was when I was playing. But as far as like the construction of stuff, it's actually fairly similar. I mean, I found you guys through one of your clients, and super happy that I found you guys. I love what you guys do. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on your podcast, but I'm serious.
You've never said this before.
No, exactly. I know. But it's, I wanted, because everything was so thoughtful when I was playing, right? Mm-hmm. I have a schedule, whether I have a trainer or not, I kind of have this routine over the course of the winter, and I took more accountability for it for myself as I got older, because I didn't need to have someone there kind of overseeing me. I could kind of push myself. Now I'm not really working for anything other than to maintain what I currently have. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to put the effort into thinking that much about what I'm doing, because I've
neither do we
so much. Some days I know that. But yeah, so going back, it's more of just, guys, point me in the direction, tell me what to do, motivate me a little bit when I need to be motivated, and I feel pretty fortunate to have found you guys.
Thanks, man.
It's been a pleasure. It was very interesting having you in for the first time, because it was like,
couldn't fit in the fucking doorway first. Couldn't fit in the door. It's huge.
Save it.
Not fat.
Stop calling everyone fat, man.
But it's that conversation that I expected, because when our client told us that you'd like to come in and train, I was like, cool. He's like, he's an ex-baseball player. I was like, cool. Maybe he's got like some idea of what he wants to do. And you turn up and I'm like, well, what's the plan? And you were like, I don't know, it's your job. And I was like,
yeah,
okay, cool. All right, I like that.
Especially at first.
Like, do whatever you want. Yeah. And I think, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, I think it was quite a humbling experience, because you hadn't trained for what, like a year and a half properly since?
Yeah, I mean, I would do my own stuff, like half-ass kind of things, yeah.
Were you a bit shocked by the fall off from where you left in terms of your fitness and your strength to where you came in at when you came to our place?
Yeah, it's sad. It's interesting how quick you can lose it, lose some strength if you just don't.
But also, you're in a completely different phase of life, not playing anymore.
Yeah.
And it's all about longevity, tendon health.
100%.
It must be hard to sort of come to terms with that. Like, fuck.
No, it is. But when I first retired, I still kind of kept a similar workout regiment.
What, 3 months, super intense.
Not
in
super intense, but like I would do something every other day, weight. And like heavier weights.
Yeah.
You know, back squats. Like my back kind of hurts.
You don't need that.
I'm going, wait a second. Yeah. What the hell am I doing? I don't want to be hurt. So how about I just lighten it up a little bit and see how that goes?
And I guess like the nature of how you spent the majority of your life has been an environment that's highly competitive.
The competitive part is totally real. There was a few years where I would work out with this group of guys. You see one guy doing a certain weight and you think you're stronger than him, or you guys are the same, and then he does something a little bit more, so you want to prove to yourself that you can do it. And that can just be a vicious cycle at a certain point.
We always get our guests to share a funny and or embarrassing story, which we try and ask for it to be loosely related to training and exercise. Most of them aren't.
This could be a good one. I can Chase has got a few.
We've had a guy who shouted that he shat himself in an audition.
Yeah,
that was my personal favourite one.
No.
But I would imagine you've got some funny ones over the years as being in a sports team.
Oh, I mean, there's plenty of embarrassing, like, screwing up.
That's all moments.
Yeah.
Any of that.
The one where you shit yourself.
I didn't shit myself.
Is that a thing?
There are guys. Yeah, it happens.
Someone shat themselves whilst playing.
Probably more than one.
You all wear white trousers.
Probably
as well.
More than one.
Do you all wear white trousers?
We all, yeah, white or gray.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so
white
you
or gray.
Yourself, that's
but
not
you have
good.
Like you have like a few layers on underneath. You would hope it at least protect, you kind of keep it in there for at least 10 minutes for you.
But
to
how
go
long
go
do you get
bathroom.
Before you can leave to go and deal with it?
On the offensive side, you have the ability to be in the
go
to the bathroom.
Yeah.
If you're playing defense, you're alone. You are all alone out there.
That's a lonely place to be, isn't it?
I mean, there's plenty of times where you like you make an error, meaning like you. A ball's hit to you and you're fielding it and you screw it up and the guy gets to first base, right? And there's plenty of times where I've fielded it, screwed it up, he's already got to first base, and then I decide I'm still going to try to get him out even though he's safe. And then you throw it into the stands.
And then they go to second base.
So it's a double error, which is...
Then they just keep running?
No, they have to... If the ball goes out of bounds, they have to stop. But okay. They get an extra base because I'm a dumb fuck for throwing it in the stands.
They can't just be like,
look at that
angle.
Fuck it, I'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
That is pretty bad, actually.
Yeah, it was bad. I'm not alone in that, but yeah.
Do you get booed in that scenario by your own fans?
I've been booed by plenty of fans.
Yeah, too right.
We were lucky. Philadelphia is known to boo their...
Everyone.
So you got the booers behind
But we had a really good... We got lucky. Like, we got really good teams. We played hard. We won a World Series. We made the playoffs numbers of years. And they gave us... a break. I mean, yes, they've booed some of my teammates. Maybe there's been a few boos for me, but for the most part, it was really supportive, which I feel pretty fortunate about.
Lovely stuff.
Instead of you telling an embarrassing story, why don't we just embarrass you instead?
Perfect. I love that.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Tell him about his reputation in our gym.
Am I thinking of the right thing?
Amongst the sort of younger female actresses in our gym.
I don't tell him that.
No, I love
He'll
it.
He'll be insufferable.
Yeah.
Well, basically, they'll think you smell a bit funny. Yeah, so you can
There's
just...
There's a rumour
Coffee
you,
breath.
There's
for
a
sure.
rumour that you shat yourself.
Do you shit yourself on the way into the gym?
Dave started the rumour.
Twice a week.
I know that it was your baseball nickname, but it's the silver... They think you're a silver fox.
Silver
as well.
Fox, yeah. The grey hair. You guys don't have to deal with that.
Just no, you.
Guys
are I've good. Got one grey
You have one grey hair. It's good for you.
It's prominent in the beard.
Good for you.
Did you go grey young?
Well, I still consider myself young. I'm 44, and it was grey... At 30, started going gray at like 37.
When were you dubbed? Because I looked, fact man, looked up your other nickname was The Man.
The Man, yes.
How the hell did you get that as The Man?
It was the Phillies' longtime announcer, this guy by the name of Harry Callis. Famous, really famous baseball announcer. He said it one day on a...
You slipped him a $100 bill.
I gave him $100 and I said, you got to come up with a good nickname that's going to stick. And he came up with one.
Can you do how he would do it?
I think he said, Chase Utley, you are the man. Kind of that. A little bit more exaggerated.
And were you walking out like, yes, I am.
Well, I didn't see... No, it was on broadcast, so I had no idea. But then you hear people like saying the man, and it's like you're hearing it more than once. They're like, what is going on? Because you're not watching the broadcast. You don't listen to the broadcast because you're playing, and you don't re-watch the games.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you went gray, like immediate change to Silver Fox overnight.
Quickly. What's the guy's name in Hangover? He's hilarious.
His acting, I don't know what his name is.
Anyways, he announced our starting lineup one day at a game.
Right.
It might have been in a playoff game. Yeah.
He just called it Silver Fox.
Yeah, he made it up, and then it kind of stuck, and all my teammates loved it. I hated it.
Ken Young.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Who's
two good nicknames.
He made it up.
So two legendary people of
legendary. Yeah.
What can we?
We need. We'll give
on
you
that
one.
Note.
Yeah, bring it.
We'll give you one.
We'll get you next time in the gym. We'll have a nickname for you.
Okay, I can't wait.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much for coming in and agreeing to do this.
No, my pleasure, guys. This was fantastic. I know.
I hope you enjoyed it.
As much fun as some of your other
guests. I think
guests.
It's been way more fun than all of them.
Yeah. And if you want me to come back.
We'll do next year.
Next year. We'll do it in time to release it before the baseball game is starting.
Yes.
So it's not coming out
after promotion.
We've done it. Yeah, we'll use it as promotion. And
love
then we can actually charge the MLS.
We'll do one on the road where we all go watch Wrexham together.
Okay.
And we'll get Rob.
Yes.
If he ever hears this.